DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast. Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the first, man.
Price.
Oh my God, who
no one wants to hear
James.
No, there have been letters.
I'm tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Because I told you.
Samantha.
I am going to have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
It's weird that she's been threatening to have regular sex with us.
Yeah.
Yet she's never attempted.
Well, we only have bondage sex, so I'm usually suspended by meat hooks in my rectum. Or just the one. Just so I don't want to make it sound like I got like...
In the rectums?
I'm not Jimmy Two Meat Hooks over here. I'm just like one standard meat hook in the rectum. You know, but it's just, yeah, it's kind of boring by now. Like, I would love to have regular sex with Samantha. Or Lois Griffin.
I am just cutting that out and just posting that up. That's
slap.
The show.
Yeah. I want to have regular sex with
Mic
Samantha. And we're out.
That was the fastest show we've ever done.
Yeah. I don't even know how to top that.
I don't think there is a way to top it.
We're setting the bar high. We're setting the bar high today.
Yeah, far too early in the show, too.
Sorry.
Jesus.
Gotta save some ammo.
No, you see me play Modern Warfare. I throw all the grenades at my own guys before I even leave the spawn point.
And then you just sit down.
Yeah, I'm just like,
I'm out of ammo. Yeah. I got nothing.
Yeah, I've got nothing left to offer this war.
No, the funniest time ever watching Jim play video games was setting him on Battlefront. And he forgot that he was part of the Empire, and he was shooting his own guys.
Yeah, well, they
and guys were like other players were turning around, going, "Who's shooting at me?"
They didn't put up much of a fight, and I got a lot of kills that game. All right, I'm just going to go ahead and say that I was the best thing for the Empire at that point.
He was the Finn before there was Finn.
I received the message, "Kill all Jedi," and so that's what I was doing.
There were no Jedi.
Oh well. Eggs on my face. What can I tell you? So sorry. So many flag draped coffins.
He was so panicked at like every turn. He before he'd even go around the corner, he was shooting.
Yeah. That's called precaution. That's called like being you know having your head on a swivel, ready for battle. I'm telling you, it's just how I live my life.
They kicked him out. can we get rid of Jim over here?
Captain Friendly Fire, your services are no longer required.
What's weird is he was the one wearing the red shirt.
Yeah. You're not taking me out this time, fuckers.
Fuck that.
This ain't Star Trek, bitch. This is Star
Captain,
Wars.
I found something over here.
That's what I do is I fake like I need a medic, and when the medic comes over to me, I shank him in the throat, take his med pack, and I run. It's playing dirty, but you know what? Get you through the game. Get you through the game.
It's all about survival.
Yeah.
We should make him play another round and film it and then upload it.
I don't know. I do not photograph.
You know, the only game like that I've seen Jim do well on was Colonial Marines.
Yeah. Well, because I was like emotionally invested.
I need to get Alien Isolations set up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except it's kind of involved at the beginning and it takes a while to get good.
Well, it's kind of late now because he's leaving. Twitter.
Oh, me, sorry.
We had bets on whether you were going to wear your Amish hat.
I honestly was debating it, but it's like in this freaking heat, I'm just like, ugh, it's a little too close to, you know, farmland. I love the hat. It's actually, Malia and I went to her old work to get some empty boxes so that we could have stuff to pack.
To sell.
You want to buy a box? I want to buy a box.
A box.
Real cheap.
It's empty.
It's in my trench coat right here. You like that? I got shoe boxes over here. But, no, I...
You want refrigerated boxes? We got them in the back.
But we got about, like, 35, 40 flat boxes. And like we're running out of room for everything in the house, so we put it in the kitchen on the dinner table. And there's a bunch of books on the one end, and I'm walking around. I'm like, what the hell is propping him up on the other side? So I look underneath.
The hat
was like the dome was a little like pushed in, but like I lift up like heavy ass boxes. I slid in like a empty CD case in there.
Crush.
No, the circular one, not like just an actual CD case. But yeah, I slid the CD case in there, sort of like balance it out, pull the hat out, punch the dome back out. Perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Amish put a sturdy goddamn hat. It's like a Kung
like
Lao
hat. Wiccan fireplaces?
Yeah.
That's yeah, last week, Jim and Malia had their going away party at O'Malley's.
I don't remember that.
Great friggin' bar.
I heard that you got lost for a while.
Yeah, there was messages all over Facebook. Yeah. Has anyone seen Jim?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, no, what had happened was I had dropped off Malia and another friend. Because like her husband just like, I'm going to go for a pack of cigarettes, and then just disappeared. They're getting married tomorrow, by the way. So...
hopefully he shows up.
Yeah,
he's probably been missing.
But so she was like kind of pissed off at him, and eventually, Malia wanted to go home, take the baby with her, and so I was going to drop them all off and then come back to the bar, which I did, and Malia knew that, and so that's where I did, and that's where I went. It gets to be closing time at the bar. I actually I actually left about maybe 1:30 or so. Went back to the house, and I'm hanging out. What I do is I hang out in the backyard, and I'll like, just, like, you know, smoke and listen to music and, you know, just whatever. And so...
So she just didn't look in the backyard?
She just didn't realize that I was actually physically home. And I'm like, I have got no clue, because when I'm listening to music, my phone won't let me go onto Facebook at the same time. And I had no fucking clue that I was supposedly lost. I'm just like, I'm fucking
right
home.
Here.
I'm like, right here.
I've been here. Yeah.
So...
That's but, funny. Yeah.
Well, your phone's probably still better than his.
Yeah. No, that's
his,
what it
yours can go on the internet.
His, well,
is like a
my phone shuts awful. Itself off even when it still has like 30% power for no reason. Like, it doesn't matter if I'm on if I'm online, if I'm like, you know, just listening to some podcasts or whatever that I've downloaded, I have it in like airplane mode. It'll have 30-40% power and just shut itself off. And then what's worse is I can't just turn it back on. I have to go attach it to a charger and jump start it. So it'll start again, and then I have to leave it on there for a minute or two.
Is this supposed to be a new
phone? Yeah. Well, it's actually the exact same phone that I had before I lost the other one, and but that other one didn't have the same kind of a glitch. But this is like the battery. It's weird. I had it in airplane mode, and it was charging. I took it off the charger. It continued to charge itself somehow. Not sure.
Your
how
phone has gained sentience, man.
It's, yeah, and it doesn't possessed. Like me. Yeah, it does not like me
you,
at all.
You better find a press and put it in there and make sure it's not at, like, Cyodyne systems.
It's the only way to be sure, really.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to donate it to that museum that was run by the that couple that was, like, a paranormal investigation, like the original pair. They have, like, that haunted possessions museum. I'll donate it to them. Yeah, it'll sit next to Annabelle and, like, you know, three Chucky dolls.
Just constantly
just
texting.
It'll make
back.
Prank phone calls. Is your refrigerator?
I was just going to
say. You better catch it.
Oh, my God. The calls are coming from inside the museum.
It's going to sound like a speak and spell.
F.
U.
God damn it.
Jim, you've been wanting to talk about a topic for a couple of weeks, and we've just been overrunning you. And I figure since, you know...
Might as well throw a bone.
Yeah, it's about time.
Is this the abuse subject that I was talking about? Yeah, kind of ironic that you guys...
Who is dinging?
That's me. It's my stupid phone. Talking shit about it.
I was going to say, it's not me. I just checked. There it goes.
Cling. Yeah, right.
That's it's all James.
On the vibrate. There you go.
It's all James.
I just got James's Facebook message. Yes, excuses, Jim. All you hear is excuses. But yeah, the reason being was...
Because of all the abuse you've been getting lately?
Well, it's something that I grew up under a lot of, both at school and at home. And it was, like, just detrimental to me as, you know, as a formative human. And with the new kid now, I live in, like, just daily constant fear what things are going to be like when she gets older. Like... When I was in school, someone wrote, like, a silly note or, like, drew an unflattering picture of you, and the rest of the class saw it. It was embarrassing, yes, but only that classroom saw it.
Yeah.
Now...
Everybody sees it.
Yeah, now the entire world sees it, and it's up there forever. It can never be taken down. It can never be destroyed. So...
I finally figured out why Bryce sounds so weird. His bass is all the way...
I thought it's because he was filled with hate and knives.
Well, that, but...
Okay.
I think you sound weird.
Yeah, James.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's that? Because I only
at least,
have one testicle.
At least people can actually hear me.
Ooh.
No one wants... I keep telling you, no one wants to hear
me.
No one's listening for me.
We need to do single tracks for everybody so that we can you can have the option to download it without specific people. So it can be, oh, well, this is the Jim and Bryce and the James and Jim.
The Jim only version.
Yeah. Mostly just me saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God damn it.
Fuck.
Fucking
getting stabbed.
Yeah. It's me. It's sound effects of me being slowly, you know,
rotisseried.
Yeah. But
so you're talking more. Are you talking more about abuse or bullying or a little bit of both?
Pretty much all those things. Because to a certain degree, the abuse that I was subjected to helped create a better version of me. But it took a lot of work, and it took a lot of really just horrifying bad shit to be able to do
that. A lot of counseling, yeah. A lot of drugs. There,
well, some counseling, a lot of drugs. But so, yeah, my question to you guys would be then, like, you know, how what do you feel is the benefit, if there is any, to abuse, and how is it sort of quantified?
This is a really complicated question. I think the first thing to do is quantify what we determine as abuse and that sort of thing. Because when I hear the word abuse, it's not...
You see it more like just like a physical hand-on...
No. I see it as like the extreme. Basically, schoolyard bullying is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Abuse is something completely different. Abuse is much worse. That's not to say that bullying isn't a form of abuse. This is just how I quantify it to myself. Whenever I hear the word abuse, I immediately go to family abuse,
mm-hmm.
Domestic violence, that sort of thing. When I hear bullying, to me, it's name calling, it's schoolyard fights, it's gone into
social media
harassment, that sort of thing. So I think we need to quantify, because when you've suffered domestic abuse, at the hands of a family member, be it emotional, physical, or mental,
or sexual,
that I think is far more hurtful, far worse to get over, because it's at the hands of a so-called loved one.
Yeah, someone that you trust or supposed
exactly,
to trust.
Exactly. Whereas the bullying is by people who, in the long run, really don't matter.
Yeah.
You know, well, you're choosing to let those people hurt you.
But the problem, though, with that is when you're in school, you can't see the bigger picture, because all you see is
exactly
the picture that's in front
of
you.
We've discussed that,
yeah,
a number of times. So for now, let's focus on the schoolyard, you know, that sort of thing. For me, there is no excuse for bullying. When you're friends with someone,
yeah,
you bust each other's balls. I think girls do it worse, but it's not as recognized, because it's girls. We kind of place a higher standard, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But from my point of view, from my perspective, and from what I've seen, girls are far, far more harsh to other girls than,
yeah,
guys are to other guys. You see someone in school, you don't like them for whatever reason, you maybe shove them into a locker, call them fag,
yeah,
or whatever. Girls are so much worse.
Yeah, because they almost run in packs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're either part of the pack or you're against the pack. And
yeah,
if you find yourself on the outs, it is a very lonely, lonely place that is just filled with like constant ridicule and torture.
Now, for you and I, Jim,
yeah,
we didn't have social media growing up.
Thank
Bryce,
God.
I'm not sure if social media had taken off so much when you
were
in school.
Yeah, MySpace was big,
okay,
when I was in school.
So you and I, when for us growing up, someone picked on you.
It was at school.
It was, yeah, and it pretty much stayed at school. Maybe if you went to a party or something, someone would say something, but it primarily stayed within the school halls.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, though, it's worldwide.
And it's, yeah, all day. It's 24
yeah,
hours a day.
It never stops.
Yeah, and when we were kids, it was like, you know, the worst that could happen is someone draws a picture of you. Now they can Photoshop your image into any number of horrible...
Well, they can just take a bad picture of you.
Yeah.
Or they can hack into your stuff and post,
yeah,
pictures of you that...
You didn't intend to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that is just that's the stuff that, you know, just terrifies me now, because that's how bad it is now. By the time she gets to be old enough where she's going to school, you know, I just don't know how I'm really going to be able to, and by her I mean my daughter, just like I'm just terrified as to what's going to be the new version of torture. What's going
to
be the new version
of
bullying?
I think the best thing for you to do as a parent is to keep up on what is currently some of the big things, and educate her as she's growing up on what to do to stay safe of that. And if she is getting bullied, have her come to you so that you guys can help take care of it by blocking the person or whatever you can do.
Yeah. That's a very good advice.
That's one thing. Advice. And for me, I would suggest also building up her self-worth.
Yeah.
Helping her to develop a thick skin. So she knows.
So I should bully her at home?
I don't want to say that.
Eat your Apple Jacks, nice nerd. And then shove her face in the bowl. Daddy's mean to me. Like, I'm doing it for your own good.
You'll thank me later.
You'll love me later, yeah.
That's a really harsh way of saying it, but yeah. You know, I mean, if my parents had worked more to build up my own self-worth, maybe some of the bullying I suffered in high school wouldn't have been so bad to me, wouldn't have been so dramatic. But again, how do you do that as a parent? How do you help your child develop a thick skin without crossing that line into mental abuse?
See, but I had a thick skin, and I didn't have parents.
Bryce,
that
everything
did that
about
too.
You is thick. Your Kevlar is thick.
Straight it is.
Wow. Wow. We just learned something very interesting about James and his affinity for.
How do you think I got him onto the podcast? A lot of enthusiasts were given.
So it's like jerking off a birch tree. My God.
I'm going to have so many splinters.
But a lot of it is it's on how the person develops, on how they feel about themselves. And it is good to reinforce the positive outlook on self-worth.
Yeah. See, my dad was very much the kind of person that was trying to do what you're saying, James, which is be stern, but don't be abusive. Like, you know, I understood.
I think they used to call it tough love.
Yeah.
Is what they...
To a certain extent, yeah. Like I got paddled when I was a kid. I got spanked if I did something
kinky.
Wrong. Yeah, you know, just a big pink leather paddle that said Soul Pole on it. I think he made it in high school. I'm not quite sure, but no. Like if I did something that I knew was wrong, because he let me know that there is a difference between an accident, which is something that wasn't intended to go wrong, but did.
Manslaughter versus murder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a rather thick extreme there, James. But he also let me know that if there was something that I knew was wrong and I did it anyway, that there would be consequences for that. And by today's standards, people would have looked at my father as like, oh, you're just a horrible abuser. I'm like, well, no. I learned that doing something bad does have an actual consequence on it. And what did I do? As little bad stuff as possible, because I didn't want to have that come back on me. Mm-hmm. You know, and if that meant I get ridiculed by my friends because I'm not willing to go with them on their stupid, you know, ideas, then so be it. Because I mean, I'd much rather stay on the right with my dad than do the dumb shit that these other guys, you know, wanted me to do. But at the same time, I had a hard time making friends when I was a little kid, so I would do literally anything that they suggested me, you know, to do. In order to kind of get them to think like, well, you know, Jim's one of us. He's part of the gang or whatever.
Yeah.
So finding a balance there. The self-development that Bryce was talking about, that's really up to the individual. You can do all the things that you think. You can be up to date on all the media. You can read all the books, all that stuff. But you can't develop for that child.
Exactly.
They have to develop on their own. And finding a way to kind of speak the language of, you know, insert person here, would be the only real way to kind of like let them know that communication is always there. If there's something wrong, if there's a problem of any kind, don't feel like you can't come and talk to me for fear of, like, you know, being punished or being, you know, ridiculed or whatever. There needs to be that constant line of communication open so that when they do have those problems, when they do have those troubles, that they don't internalize it and then in turn feel bad about themselves for not handling the situation better.
Or making bad choices because they're not willing to ask about it.
Yeah.
See, I think that's the key. And I think that's the key to not only a relationship with your child, but any relationship. You need to have communication. Communication and trust are the two cornerstones of any good relationship. But the problem is, especially for parents, is how do you have that communication with a child, especially when they're in their teenage years, when it's uncool, or your parent, my parents just won't understand what I'm going through. And let's face it.
If only there was a song that the kids would be popularized that said that exact same thing.
Volvo Dump Truck is working on
that. Oh.
And you talk, I'm going to kick you in the nuts now. You told me
parents not understanding about what the kids.
Yeah, I think there is sort of a maybe not so much between our generation and our children's generation, but there was definitely a kind of a split for between my parents and my generation. Like, they would always talk about, oh, I went through the same stuff you went through. And no, because times change.
Yeah.
Pressures are different, you know. I'm sure, yeah, peer
the
pressure.
Constant connectivity, too, has made a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. So I think
and it's never going to be the exact same for every generation now, because everything's changing so quickly.
Exactly. So I think, you know, for children to talk to their parents about the things they're going through is really tough. I know it was tough for me. I didn't want to talk because they just didn't understand. The fact of the matter is they can relate to an extent.
Yeah.
The emotions that you go through don't change from generation to generation. Those feelings of inadequacy or self-doubt, low self-esteem, all of that stuff, I mean, it's human. We all go through it. But the circumstances change, and I think for children to relate to their parents or want to talk to them, they feel like, you don't understand what I'm going through because of this, this, and this. And that may be true, but the fact of the matter is, I do understand what you're going through because I went through those same emotions.
Yeah.
The circumstances are different, but I can understand the emotions. And maybe just being here as a non-judgmental sounding board, you know, don't look at me as your dad. Look at me as someone you can confide in.
Yeah.
You know? But then that puts you in an awkward place because it's like you might hear some stuff you don't want to hear.
You have to and you have to be willing to have the conversations that you may not want to.
Exactly.
Because I think one of the biggest things is, like, the sex talk. That is probably one of the most awkward conversations that a parent can have with their child, but it's a very important one that they need to be having.
And it's a conversation that needs to be had earlier and earlier and earlier.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I remember I was, like, just about to go into high school when I got, you know, the talk.
Yeah.
But by then I had already been through so many embarrassing Catholic school health classes where a priest is telling me about
health class in Catholic school.
Yeah, I know.
That's like, kind of an oxymoron.
It was basically a picture of a cross with the words, don't do it.
Don't fuck for Jesus.
That would be a good band title, Don't Fuck for Jesus. No, it was hilarious watching these priests and nuns talk about, you know, penis and vagina.
Something that they have no experience with.
It's like the Amish teaching you to
quote, dance. Unquote, no experience with. I got a buddy who's, he's got, what is it, like 6 kids, 2 of his own, the rest through marriage, and then they foster some kids. So he's responsible for a lot of young lives.
Yeah.
And he was smart enough to realize and recognize, him and his wife were smart enough to realize that you can't stop them from doing what they're going to do.
Yeah.
The best thing you can do is inform them.
Yeah.
And
give them a good foundation to make good decisions off of.
Yeah, they're going to do whatever it is they're going to do.
If they want to have sex, they're going to find a way to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the best thing you can do is to teach them how to be safe
and give them the tools
and the
to
consequences.
Be safe.
Yeah.
But then again, that's the fine line too. Of just like, you know, where is the education? Where is, like, you're almost encouraging the activity because you're trying to be, you know. You know, I like to kind of go like the route where it's like, okay, so you're thinking about having sex. The ultimate ramifications are you get pregnant. So what are we going to do? We're going to go and we're going to volunteer a little bit at like a natal ward. So you get to see, like, these young parents, and babies and see like the amount of work that goes into all that sort of thing. So that, you know, when the time is right, yes, but you don't have to, shouldn't feel like, you know, you're engaging in this willy-nilly just for the sake of, like, you know, a moment's worth of, you know, fun, when in fact there can be a lifetime of responsibility that goes along with that one moment, you know, in your
life. there's more than just the physical consequences too, and I kind of wish someone had talked to me about this, because every time the sex talk was brought up is like, you know, pregnancy and diseases and blah blah blah, but no one ever once said having sex changes the relationship.
Yeah,
the emotional. Yeah. Are we keeping you awake?
Well, no, the 10-month-old at home has been keeping us up. So,
The way the relationship changes from that physical act.
Yeah.
It's a great physical act. And sometimes the changes are great. Other times, not so much.
Yeah.
And especially that young. We might have a pause here.
Okay.
We can edit that out. As long as it's not frozen. Looks like it's trying to work.
Why is it freezing?
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
We're good.
Weird.
Crisis averted.
The computer just kind of froze on us there.
It's always hard to have to redo a serious conversation because it never turns out quite the same.
Yeah.
James Bryce and I just had a quick fuck break, and it was great.
I am so exhausted.
Yeah. Oof. But, yeah, what you're saying, though, when it comes to engaging in sex with, you know, a significant other, whether it be a friend, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, however that relationship is quantified, afterwards, things do change, you know.
And the problem is
unless you're a sociopath.
Well, yeah. No one ever talks about that.
Yeah.
And the part of the problem is too, just because you are physically ready for that relationship doesn't mean that you are emotionally ready.
Yeah.
And the problem is even when you think you are, you're not.
I know.
But you can't discover that until you are in that situation. It's so hard to judge, you know, especially for teenagers who, you know, people will say, wow, you're very mature for your age and blah, blah, blah. And then they get into that situation and they are so unprepared. Because it's not just you. You're dealing with that other person.
Yeah.
You know?
When I remember when I lost my virginity...
Did you ever find it again?
No, I did not
find
it. Still looking. Well, I had in my head what sex was supposed to be like, and it touches on the emotional maturity that James was just talking about. I thought that sex was going to be like a John Hughes movie. Where, like, afterwards...
Duck Dong would come out.
Dong, where's my automobile?
What's happening? Hot stuff?
Yeah, that movie was so racist. But no, so, yeah, I just imagine, like, the next morning after sex, you'd wake up and, like, you know, birds would be chirping and, like, you'd be walking down the street and everything's great and fantastic because you got laid last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was a freshman in high school. She was a senior. And we did it, did the thing. And then the next morning I woke up and I'm just like, I really need to get, I wanted to get away from her as fast as possible because, like, I just, not because I, you know, it was a bad experience or that I didn't like her anymore. It was just that, like,
you're freaked out.
It was too much.
It was too much.
It was a change.
For myself,
when did you have sex with my senior?
Same girl,
yeah.
Right after you left.
She didn't even take a shower. She's like, next! Now serving number 48. Bring a wet nap if you wouldn't mind.
For myself, it caused, like, severe jealousy. Like, I became jealous of everyone who talked to her.
Really?
Yeah. And we dated a total of 2 years. We dated about a year before we had sex, and then another year after that. And
straight fucking.
When we weren't fucking, we were fighting.
Oh,
it was. I mean,
geez.
It was.
It's a volatile,
I mean, that's,
relationship.
That's what it was, though. I mean, it's like we had a lot of really good stuff, but we had a lot of low periods too.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, you know, after it ended, and I was able to, once I got through the initial heartbreak and could look back at the relationship.
After you put the razor blade down.
And, yeah, yeah.
And turned off Snow Patrol.
It was Coldplay, thank you.
Excuse me. I used to walk these streets.
I was really disgusted with myself.
Yeah.
Because every girl I had dated before then, and in high school, you know, it's easy to get jealous and stuff, but I was always like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the, you know, I don't want to run the girl off because I'm just so crazy jealous of, you know, because they're going to have friends that aren't your friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're dating a hot girl, guys are going to hit on them.
Yeah. You have to have the trust in them that.
Exactly. They're not and going I was, to, I was always pretty good about that until we had sex.
Yeah.
And then it was like a switch flipped and I really hated that. And every time we got into a fight over that, I would constantly tell myself, you've got to stop being so jealous. She's with you.
Yeah.
You know, in the end, my jealousy was justified because she cheated on me with a guy who everyone said looked exactly like me.
Oh, God. So, maybe she just got confused.
It was budget James.
But
Dollar Tree James.
The worst part of it was that she did it on my birthday.
Oh!
Yeah. So, yeah.
I used to
kicking the balls.
It really was, and it hurt for a long time. But it was like, again, it was a 2-year-long relationship.
Had you been accusing her of
No. See, that was the thing. We were actually in a really good point. It came way out of left field. She had gone to calling her out.
Say it.
She had gone to a music festival here in town.
Which one?
I don't know what it was called. I think it was at Oaks Park. Didn't invite me, knew it was my birthday.
Oh, Jesus.
Still went out. We'd been dating 2 years. Of course she knew it was my birthday.
Yeah.
And apparently told
but James,
her friends.
James, NKOTB, New Kids on the Block are here.
Ended up telling her friends that she was only with me until she found something better.
Oh.
Which apparently she found that day.
Oh.
And of course I got all of this after the breakup. So,
jeez, that's fucking.
That's harsh.
That's harsh. That's personal. Any other way.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Like, if she had spent the day with me, or at least acknowledged it was my birthday and done it a day later,
yeah,
it still would have hurt. But I don't think it
wouldn't have been the same.
Yeah. I mean, damn. Some of the sting would have been taken out of it, but it was.
That's one of those things where you.
Oh, it gets worse.
Oh, jeez.
I gotta if I'm gonna spill this, I gotta spill the rest. So she stays out like beyond her curfew. Her parents are calling my dad because I was living with my dad at the time, and like wondering where she was because her and her sister hadn't shown up from this concert and stuff. So they finally show up. Apparently, got grounded. And of course, I hear all about this because parents are in constant communication.
Yeah. Were you home at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd been home all day expecting a call or something.
Sitting in front of a cake while the candles are slowly burning.
Happy out.
Birthday
balloons
to
are just
falling, sitting right next to it. The balloons are just...
No, she's going to call.
They're falling.
She's going to call.
Just the worst.
Oh,
so
God,
we had a conversation that night. I finally got hold of her. She snuck onto the phone or something. And we had a conversation, and she basically said that she wanted to see other people. Found out the next morning that she was already seeing someone else. So I walked from my house to her house to confront her about this. Because I was very much of the mind as like, if you're going to see other people, that means we're breaking up. Because she was like, I don't want to break up with you. I just want to see other people.
Well, what the fuck?
Fucking 15-year-old.
High school.
I'll always need an emotional tampon.
Basically.
Yeah.
So I went and I confronted her and I was like, look, we need... I can't do this.
Yeah.
Like, if you see other people, then we're done. So you need to, you know, I don't want to put, you know, give you an ultimatum, but, you know, I'm not going to just be your standby. And so she was like, well, then I want to see other people. I was like, okay, fine. I got up, started to walk out. She hugged me. And then she tried to kiss me.
What?
And I was like, no, we're done. Remember, we just... And she was like, but I don't... I was like, no. And I walked out, and She talked to my dad later that night, and she was like, my dad told me, she's like, she said you were really broke. And I was like, duh, you think?
Wow, man.
It was the single worst breakup I'd ever had.
Second.
A year later.
Oh, no. God fucking damn sister. It. Her twin sister, who just came back from a year abroad.
Festival. And, not even joking. She did have a twin sister.
Are you serious? No fucking way I knew that.
I'm good friends with her twin sister even now on Facebook. Her twin sister is awesome. Her, so far not as so I much. Know, not so much. She's kind but, of a... But she's kind of a train wreck.
Yeah, well, it sounds to me this was more than just like a bad high school romance gone wrong. It sounds like she's like mentally disturbed.
No, I think like, she just makes really bad choices. She gets herself into situation and she has a type.
Yeah.
And I think that type has gotten worse as she's gotten older.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know. I'm speaking out of class here, so I don't want to make aspersions or call...
No,
call
I know
out her character.
I know plenty of people that say the term is your man picker's broken. You know, that thing in your head that's supposed to tell you what a good mate's supposed to be. You're just fucking just it's totally broken.
Yeah. right around a year later, when I met my one of my very close friends, him and I went out hanging out for the first time. We met a couple girls, and one of the girls I started dating for about 2 to 3 months. And for the last month of the relationship, she was cheating on me with my best friend at the time.
Oh, the dude that you were just hanging out with? Or
No.
Just the other best friend.
Yeah. The other best friend I had met through my former girlfriend who dumped me on my birthday.
Jeez. Okay, this is like a fucking HBO miniseries.
I had, and I think those two relationships and the one following, they all started out great, all ended really badly, and I think for myself, it caused just a number of years of relationship problems for me. I was single for a long time, and the girls that I did date were very short. And I think a lot of that had to do with...
Like in duration or height?
Yes. it caused a lot of problems because I couldn't...
Well, you couldn't trust.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
There's no fucking way you're going to be able to trust anyone after that. I mean, those two betrayals back to
back. Well, on top of it, your self-esteem just took a severe beating.
Yeah.
And even though I could come off as charming and confident, I couldn't, you know.
You were faking it.
Yeah, really bad. And people can see that, you know.
Not unless you're a good actor.
Well, I wasn't, clearly.
Or a sociopath.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, the choices you make, the people you associate with, all of that stuff plays into the kind of person that you will become and how you handle that sort of stuff. For me, I am amazed, especially after that 2-year-long relationship, I am amazed that I didn't end my life. I really wanted to.
Yeah.
I thought, like, of every way to do it, every way possible to do it.
I'm glad that you did not make that decision.
Yeah.
Sincerely.
I considered jumping off bridges.
Okay.
That's
a traditional romantic kind of...
Yeah, you know, I just felt it would be the easiest way.
The vial
it's just,
of poison, right?
No, I did...
The dagger in the heart. At a Renaissance fair?
I did consider sleeping pills. I thought briefly of cutting my wrist, but that's just not the way I wanted to go out. That's not how I wanted to be found. And that was the thing, too. I always considered how and by who I would be found.
Yeah.
You know?
And what the damage it would do to them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. You see, and even in those darkest of hours when...
I didn't want to do that to other people.
Yeah. When the abuse was that apparent... You know, your inner the person who you are at your core is really the only thing you've got left to cling to. Mm-hmm. And not to say that those that have taken their lives weren't good at their core. It just means that maybe they didn't have enough strength to hold on to that true essence. Mm-hmm. Yours was there loud enough to say, well, what about the person that walks in and finds you? What about the person that sees your body or your parents that have to come and identify you?
Yeah.
Good God, that's just...
And you're right. A lot of people just don't have that strength, or they never learned that strength. You know, that saying that says what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
More people need to hold on to that and realize that, you know, it might be bad now. Things might look bleak. Those stupid photos that they took are all over the internet and people are laughing at me and mocking me. You know what, though? That's just It's temporary.
And the biggest thing is when you're in school, it's in school. Yeah. You don't have to talk to these people afterwards.
But yeah. It's, you know, when you are at that age, you're basically
it's your world.
You're an exposed nerve, basically.
Oh, yeah. Everything is the worst thing ever. Yeah.
Everything is either the best thing that's ever happened in the world or the worst tragedy that's ever befallen anyone.
Yeah.
There's very little middle ground. And, you know, just because when you're not at school, that's all you're thinking about.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, social media is everywhere. I mean, literally, you can go to the grocery store or you can go to, like, an appliance store and buy a fridge that you can play Farmville and, you know, download and Twitter shit.
Yeah, you can tweet shit from your
fucking...
It'll tweet what you're eating, that kind of stuff.
You know, imagine just, like, the worst existence where, like, you know, someone has, like, some embarrassing shit happen to them and, like, the world just keeps beating on them. And, like, every time they go to the fridge to get, like a glass of water, I got a new tweet. You click on it and it's that thing again.
Well, and then it's multiplied, too, because it's like you've got to take into consideration, well... You know, I like that girl.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if she's seen those pictures. I wonder if she's seen all the tweets about me and stuff. You know, can't she look past that and see me for me? And then who am I? What kind of person do I want to present to her?
Yeah.
Am I the cool guy? You know, am I the nerd? Am I the jock? I mean, it's everything is magnified to the 100th. And it just does not go away. It does not stop until you get that slip of paper that says, hey, you made it through these years.
Seriously.
Now, welcome to life.
Yeah. You're like, oh, thank God. Thank God high school is finally over. The bad part's done. I can just go off and wait, what? I got to get a job.
I got bills to pay.
Well, that stuff doesn't even go away in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anything, it gets worse in college because then it's like you don't have the parents, so you can make really bad decisions.
Oh, yeah.
And those pictures are worse. You know?
No. The whole purpose of bringing up the topic of abuse, specifically in school,
is to ask us to stop abusing you. We got it, Jim.
Well, and that's the thing is when I was being picked on relentlessly, I found the fastest or the way for me to kind of cope with it was I basically just joined them. I was like, okay, I would cut myself down deeper and worse than they could ever imagine, and they couldn't have a comeback that was better than that, so they would kind of just leave me alone, or they never really included me.
I did that same thing, and all they got me was punched.
Yeah. So,
how dare you insult yourself worse than I can?
To give you a broader view, I'll try to make this as brief as possible. First grade, Miss Morrow's was physically abusive. I would come home with bruises all over me. My mom saw that. She took me out of school that year. She put me into the public school, which was closer by. And the problem was they were a public school, so they were kind of like crowded as fuck. So they had these overflow grades. So they put me in a pre-first for the remainder of that year. I finished out that year. My mom gets a notice in the mail saying that the teachers received adequate counseling. We feel it's safe that you re-enroll your son in our school. So she does. So I get a year and a half, but because I was in pre-first, I never finished the requirements to go into second grade. So I had to go back into first grade with that teacher. So every day I walked in there, I was like, there's a target on my fucking back.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, she left me alone that second year. But now I'm a year behind through no fault of my own, which also fucks up your psyche.
Yeah.
Because then you think that you're stupid. She also, like, at the very first PTA meeting, she told my parents, Ms. Morrow's, she told my parents that I wasn't going to pass first grade. This was in October of that year. And they're like, how do you know? She's like, I just know the type. Trust me. He's not going to pass. So, anyway, make it through into second grade. Second grade, Sister Pius, which I've gone about at great length, how just utterly terrifying, and the fact that the bitch still draws breath. We need to fill her mouth with the Holy Eucharist and slice off her head with a silver glaive, and that's be fucking done with it.
It won't work.
And release all the souls that she's kept, you know.
It hasn't been tried, Jim? You really think it hasn't been tried? No one's heard from Blade.
She lives in a cave, and there's just nothing but, like, skeletal corpses just, like, leading. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead. The path is right that fucking way. So Sister Pius, second grade, who held me back and made me take summer school with her, she made me come in on a Saturday because it was the 4th of July, and she knew I wanted to go to the parade, and she wanted to punish me. So she made me sit with my back to the window and do, like, phonics and spelling exercises and stood at the window being like, wow, that's a really nice float. Oh, here comes the marching band. Oh, and there's some clowns, and they're just giving out candy. I'm just like, you psychological cunt. Second grade. Third grade, we get to Mrs. Dulk, who goes by the teacher.
I was
going to
say, it's the revenge of Pius.
No, there is a flashback to another teacher, but we haven't gotten there yet. Third grade, Mrs. Dulk, she screamed at the students, like, mercilessly, that she felt like that was the only way to teach. And at this point, I had developed some kind of a learning disability somehow. So they gave me, like, this really bizarre learning aid, which was basically I had to
wear... A ruler across the knuckles?
No, that was his second grade. That was second grade. It was Sister Pius. She used, like, the thin end, not the wide end, so she got a better, like, you know, area of whatever. So my teaching aid that they gave me was... They put this laminated card on my desk, and it just had a column of yeses and a column of noes with boxes next to them. And I had to wear a Walkman that played a cassette tape. It was a cassette tape, and it played over and over again at random intervals. How creepy is this? A little kid's voice asking, am I paying attention? And I had to check if I was yes or no. Because they thought maybe I was hyperactive, maybe I was ADD, but actually they didn't have that back then. They weren't sure what my issue was. So I would do as I was told. I put the earphones on. I would check the boxes. If I went to the bathroom or if I went to the blackboard, the students around me would erase all my answers, check all the no boxes, or like Jim's a fat fag, or you know something like that. They would find different things to kind of write on that. So like while I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with my brain and why I can't learn like the other kids do, I'm dealing with that. Fourth grade, we get to Miss Scatterbone. Who walked like a linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers. She was, not only was she mean, she allowed the students to be mean and almost encouraged it. I remember I was taking a test and I get hit in the back of the head with a chalkboard eraser. I'm like, who did that? And the teacher's like, I did. Stop talking. I'm like, I'm taking a test. She's like, don't talk back. I'm like, okay. So I just kept doing my thing. Full disclosure, I at this point had developed a problem where I was having accidents at school like almost daily, and so I became the smelly kid who smelled like shit because I had shit my pants. And so she loved to use that as a focal point to torture me. She one time was walking up and down the aisles. She gets to me. She's like, go and stand at the front of the room. So I go and stand in the front of the room, and she's like, something in this desk smells. I don't know what it is. She gets three students to get together, and she's like, figure out where the problem is coming from. I remember this clear as day. These three students are climbing over my desk like fucking bloodhounds, trying to figure out where the smell is coming from. And they fucking know. And they're like, it's the seat. That's where the smell is coming from. So she takes my desk. It's the kind that has like the little open area underneath. Mm-hmm. Dumps out all of my books onto the floor, all my papers and my pencils. She's like, take your desk out of the hallway. So I drag my desk out into the hallway, and she made me sit on my books for a week.
Yeah.
And then, she did some other things that I don't want to go into because it got a lot worse with her. Jeez. Fifth grade was actually a break because I got to meet one of my favorite teachers, Miss Cooper. Awesome lady. She had like an art degree, so all of her assignments were very creative-oriented, so I was excited to come to school. Sixth grade, the teacher had left that year, so they had to break it up between two teachers, Miss Riley, who was the music teacher, and Miss Catterbone, who had then gotten married to a guy, and it was now Mrs. Myers. And the joke was that she married Michael Myers because he's the only man that can handle a bitch of that magnitude. And which would explain why he kills so fucking vehemently. So I just was like, every single day, I'd be on the phone to my mom begging her, like, please don't make me go back there. I don't want to go back there. It's horrible. And so I know what you mean when, like, you're staring at the abyss, and you're like, I could just end it all. I could just fucking just, that'd be it. But then I'm like, but what would that do to my mom? What would that do to, you know, my family for the most part?
See, the people who actually go through with taking their own lives, I don't think they take that into consideration.
No.
I think the problems are...
It's the most selfish act you could do.
Two, and
sir,
I think...
step out of the car, please. Would you step out of the car? Step out of the car, please.
No. You step out of the car.
Go ahead, citizen.
Straight line. Walk it. Arms out.
This is weird. How did this change?
You're under arrest.
Citizen's arrest. Bryce's arrest, bitch.
I think the problems that someone who is suicidal feels, all the stress they feel, the problems they're dealing with, the abuse, yeah, for lack of a better word, is so magnified in their head.
Yeah.
that it makes it impossible to think of anything else other than themselves.
Exactly.
You know, and so they can't consider, even for a moment, who's going to find me? How is that going to affect them?
Yeah.
You know,
what is my death going to do to my friends, my family, everyone that knows me?
All they know is the pain that they're feeling right then and there, and they just want it to stop.
Yeah.
And we don't know what waits for us on the other side, but I don't know what the problem is. We can't talk today.
I don't know what's out there.
I don't know. Speak the words. But no, we don't know what waits for us on the other side. But you got to think that all those people that have made that decision to take their own lives, thinking that's going to cause that pain to go away. I'm saying odds are, yes, that pain went away, but now you have an eternity of anguish and regret. And look if you can,
depending on your belief system.
Yeah, we can bring it back to religion. if you're a Mauvite and you worship salt as you should, I believe that you can come back and at least sort of like observe in some kind of
you become salt.
Yeah,
and you are absorbed.
You are the salt of the earth.
Yeah. Yes,
the spice of life right there is salt.
Wilford Brimley will greet you. And give you a giant chunk of salt.
And a copy of The Thing, which I think is one of his finest movies. Fuck Cocoon and Cocoon 2. That's just, no, that's an ensemble cast. He stole the show.
But going back to your schoolhood experience, it also doesn't help when you go to these religious schools that are exempt from standard requirements, which every type of educational system should have.
Yeah.
And none of that stuff would have flown in any public school because those teachers would have been gone.
That's not 100% true because when I went to Wickersham, which was the public school, like briefly, I got to go there twice because of some issues. But the first time when I was in first grade or pre-first, I did something bad in class. And I don't know what it was. Yeah, I know, right? I did something bad in class, and the teacher's like, "All right, go out in the hallway and wait for me." And the students are like, "Oh," and I'm just like, "Is this?"
Jim went out there and went, "Oh, touch the hiney."
I went outside, and it was a female teacher. She came out about maybe 2 minutes later, and she was brandishing a wooden paddle. And she's just like, "I want you to know that what you did was wrong, and when you do something wrong, that has consequences. So bend over." And I'm just like, "Okay." And then she just gave me two solid swats. Like, you could hear it down the hallway.
Yeah.
I know they heard it in class. And
they were all piled up to watch.
Well, and then the question is, was this before or after they basically said that teachers can't do that?
Because this was right before they said they couldn't do it anymore. Lucky me. Yeah. but yeah, like I said, and even that, I would take a paddling any fucking day over those nightmarish days.
And it wasn't in front of the other students.
Yeah.
It was, I'm not condoning this at all, but it wasn't in front of everybody. It was a little more private-ish.
Yeah. Whoever leaked this fucking information to the kids that, you know, basically says that, you know, that paddling or physically disciplining, and that's the key term, is disciplining your child, being different from abusing your child. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad's favorite line was, and this is kind of creepy, "Go outside and find me a stick to beat you with." And he wasn't joking. I had to go out and I had to find him a stick.
Had to do that.
Go cut me a switch.
Had to cut a switch. Yeah. That was...
And, yeah, if it wasn't up to code, then the paddles got doubled and the stick had to get, you know, more, you know, intense. But at the same time, as radical as a concept as that is by today's standards... Back then, we didn't have anywhere near the level of bullying or school shootings or just horrific things that are happening daily. Kids aren't killing themselves left, right, and center.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of that coin, there wasn't social media. There wasn't this.
It wasn't as publicized.
So, but if there was a school shooting, we would have seen it on the news or the newspapers.
Well, I mean, kids killing themselves were probably a little more localized.
I see what you're saying.
Big national attention headline stories in the news.
Totally. Yeah, the constant churning news cycle.
Yeah,
and the internet
definitely switched to a 24-hour cycle.
Yeah, without doubt. So
and especially for these kids, I mean, the abuse doesn't stop when they leave the school at 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
You know, it goes on and on and on, you know, because if they have a Facebook page, every one of the classmates is on it, and they're just sending horrific things.
Yeah, when I would walk home from St. Anthony's, I'd get home thinking, yay, I'm free from that horrible, horrible school. And who was waiting for me at home would be my half-sister. And she was a ball of rage, too, and I was her outlet. I was the one that she got to beat on. So I didn't have any place I could really go except for, like, watching shit tons of television and absorbing a lot of useless pop culture knowledge. It's like, I can't
and
tell you...
And look at you now.
I couldn't tell you five presidents previous to my living, but I could tell you, like, the Thundercats. You know, I can tell you, like, you know, Autobots and Decepticons and, you know, just random bric-a-brac and useless knowledge about that. You know, that's what kind of filled up my brain as opposed to all the useful information, because where I was going to learn...
It was an escape.
I was terrified.
Yeah.
And when the thing, too, is, like, if you have a teacher that gives a shit, that knows how to not just regurgitate information to you or education to you, that can find a way to kind of open you up and speak the language of James or the language of Bryce and kind of get to what lights you up. That makes going to school fucking exciting. Yep. I had two teachers that were like that. And, man, I didn't want to get sick. I didn't want to miss a day because I loved those teachers.
I had a few teachers like that. Yeah. Who were your...
Mrs. Cooper, the fifth grade teacher at St. Anthony's. Big, fat, black woman. Awesome. Love her to death. on my birthday, because I used to do the thing where on your birthday you'd bring in a treat for everybody, which seems kind of counterproductive considering it's your fucking birthday, but whatever. So I got full-sized Fifth Avenue candy bars for everybody in my class and Mrs. Cooper. I went around, like, okay, you know, it's about the end of the day. Jim's going to give out his treat now. So I go around, I start with myself. I go around to everybody in my class, get back to my desk. Mine is gone. They stole my fucking birthday candy bar. And Mrs. Cooper's just like, all right, who did it? She's like, she's shaking them down, like fucking like going to bat for me. And no one would own up to it. She's like, all right, everybody, you all now have homework. Jim, you get my candy bar, which, again, kind of made me a target, but was kind of sweetened that, you know, she would go that far for me. The other one was Mr. Harkins, who, like, I swear to God, it was like Dead Poets Society. He came from New York. He was only there for 1 year. And first day, I'm sitting in class. We're all kind of like, you know, we're getting a new teacher. Do you know anything about this? No, this is this whole, like, you know, speculation thing going on. He comes in, doesn't say a word. Just walks in, puts his bag down, walks over to the podium, pulls out a piece of paper for roll call, just starts calling out names. He's just like, Beth Smith, here, picks the entire podium up, takes a solid step to the left, puts it down. And we're like, what the fuck? Calls out another name, Mike Jones, here, picks it up again, takes a step to the left, puts it down. And we're like, okay, this guy, we hope he's our teacher. We're not sure. Calls out
he could janitor. Be stealing the podium.
That whole ring of podium thefts that have been just tearing apart this city. So, the evil mastermind, the lecturer, he's been stealing all the podiums.
Damn you, lecturer!
He strikes again.
Get me the Amish Batman. He's got a wooden
Batman. Barnman!
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 Instead of a bat, it's an owl, of course. Because an owl is wise, and so is the greatest detective of all time. So anyway, he calls out a third name. They say here. He picks up the podium, takes a step to the left, puts it down, darts out the same door he just came in, runs through the coat room that runs adjacent to the classroom, bursts out the door and screams, "Ah, I gotcha!" We're like, what the fuck? He's like, my name is Mr. Harkins, going to be your teacher for this year. And we're like, oh my God, you are the coolest fucking teacher alive. And from that moment forward, I was like, whatever this guy asks me to do, I'm going to fucking do it. And he would do stuff like he would give us poetry to memorize and read, recite in front of the students. He would do things where he'd write like just one sentence and be like, write a short story based on that one sentence. It has to start with that sentence. It can be anything that you wanted. Just like an amazing guy. How about you guys?
What grade was he?
He was seventh grade. By then I should have been a freshman in high school, but that's neither here nor
there. What about you, Bryce?
Oh, God, I had a lot. I had... three or four in elementary school, and then I had quite a few in high school too.
You were public?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Some of my most memorable teachers were probably the classes that I cared the most about, which were, like, especially in high school, was like law enforcement.
They had that in school?
Yeah.
Holy dude.
Yeah.
I want to transfer. Fuck.
Retroactive.
Where do you think he learned to be such a good shot, Jim?
I'll be... Seriously. It'd be like 21 Jump Street where I just like show up like, yeah, what's going on? Eighth grade, it's kind of a bitch, right? Am I right? Hey, how about those dino bites? Those are pretty good, right? They're like chicken nuggets, but they're in the shapes of dinosaurs. What's that about?
Gets awkward, though, when the most popular girl in eighth grade gets a crush on him.
It's bound to happen.
He drives his own car. I mean, it's a minivan, but he drives his own car.
He's the only eighth grader with a full beard. Oh, my God. Well, actually, the second eighth grader with a full beard. Mike's been held back a couple times, sadly. But what was it about those teachers that you loved the most?
They cared about the students' learning.
Yes.
And it definitely showed in how they taught. Yeah. And they took the time to make sure that the students were getting a grasp of what they were trying to learn.
Yeah.
I do remember one math teacher that I had in high school. Everybody hated her. She was the worst teacher ever. Shouldn't have been teaching. So a couple of my friends in one of her other classes made it their goal to make her cry every day.
Every day?
For a year.
Every day.
And they damn near did it.
Oh, my God. That is remarkable.
She's in a mental home now.
She didn't make it more than a year. But she was
one of
the worst teachers ever because she didn't give a shit.
Those kids are like a hit squad. God damn.
It was
and Bryce was their leader.
I actually was not in that class, which was kind of surprising.
You didn't have to be in that class to be their leader. For me, there was two. There was two standouts. One was, both of them were in my second high school. One was Mrs. Stater, the English teacher.
Yeah.
And I knew from the moment, I think it was like 2 weeks into class, I'm brand new, I don't know anyone yet. I come into her class and she's wearing a veil. She's dressed fine, but she's wearing a veil.
White veil, black veil?
Black veil.
Oh, shit.
And the whole class is just like, who died? What's going on? And she won't answer anything. She won't say anything.
Why is Cobra Commander our teacher for the day?
Here's where it gets great. She makes us read this short story called The Reverend's Veil. It was to illustrate this story.
Awesome.
And so after the story, she takes the veil off and she just epitomized this story.
Yeah.
This the reverend of this town. And this story still sticks with me because of this.
Yeah.
The reverend of the town just starts wearing a veil, and the whole town is trying to figure out why, and he will not answer anything. And he was just trying to make a point about gossip.
Yeah. Oh.
So here, come into class, she's got this veil on, and we're all just... Someone died. We're all concerned for her.
Yeah.
And she's just like, she's just standing up there very stoically. About halfway through the year, she got really sick, and so she missed the rest of the year. We had her replacement was this...
Who you made cry every single day.
I didn't, but you're going to love this story. This guy was so hated. Miss Stater was so loved, and this guy was so hated that the seniors skipped a class period near the end of the day, went out, found his car, flipped it over.
Oh, shit. Now, was he hated because he was just Mrs. Stater's
I have no idea. I had no problem with him.
Yeah.
He was not my favorite teacher, but...
He wasn't a jerk. He wasn't an asshole, but he wasn't Mrs.
Stater. I think he just pissed off some people, is what it comes down to.
He was a Trump
supporter.
But
he always... It was great, because he always kept us informed on how Mrs. Stater was doing and everything. So the next year, when she came back, I was so happy, because I had applied to be... her teacher's aide
they
for the
flipped
year.
His fucking car.
Flipped his fucking car.
Because you walk out there, you're just like, what the fuck am I going to do? You can't call it AAA.
Was livid.
Yeah.
I was on my way out for the day with some friends, and we saw him coming in from the parking lot. He's just storming mad.
Yeah.
And we didn't know why until we went out into the parking lot. I was like, oh.
Fuck. What was his name?
I have no idea.
Oh,
okay. Okay, so... Miss Stater returns. I become her teacher's aide. So the day she does the veil, I came in. I was like, oh, I love this one. She's like, oh, you remember. I had her for English as well that year.
Awesome.
So I had her for English for 2 years, and then I was her teacher's aide. So I got her for my junior year. I got her twice a day.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. But my other favorite teacher I had in my senior year, he started in my junior year. The art teacher had retired.
Art teachers tend to be pretty dope.
Yeah. So they get this guy. His name was Mr. Wiener. Tall fucking guy, long blonde hair, big biker mustache. The reason was he had gotten out of the military and sworn never to cut his hair again.
Okay.
Funniest fucking guy.
Was it Private Wiener?
I have no idea. Never.
Major Wiener.
Wiener.
Oh, Wienert. Okay, I'm sure that mistake has never been. I'm sure that mistake has never been made. But just
I'm sure. I like to draw a lot during school, and so he comes in one day. Everyone knew him. He was funny. Everyone loved this teacher. Even if you didn't have his class, you knew him. You'd love to talk to him. He was always cracking jokes.
Yeah.
He always made people laugh. So I'm in. I was an office aide. They had nothing for me to do that day. So instead of doing homework like a responsible student, I just started drawing. I was making up comic characters, and I had this great one drawn. I was just finishing up, and he come into the office for something, and I didn't realize he was standing behind me, watching me finish this up, and taps me on the shoulder, freaks me out.
Yeah.
And he looks at that and goes, "I want that." I was like, "Okay." He's like, "Sign it." So I sign it, take it, he gives it, he looks at it, goes, "Next year, if you're not in my class, I'm coming for you."
Oh my God. And I've been trained to kill.
I know where you live.
I've seen the light of life leave someone's eyes before.
And
okay?
He was like, and here's the best part is the assistant principal was there. He just starts laughing. He goes, "I'll make sure he's in that class." The assistant principal loved me.
Yeah.
Just, I have no idea why. I think it's because I never caused trouble. And I look like I should have caused trouble.
Yeah.
But he loved me and my friends. We were always like the best kids out of the whole school.
Nice.
He even went to bat for me with this girl's parents who I had a crush on. They asked about me. He's like, "She cannot associate with a better person than this kid."
Wow.
And then he took me aside later that day and told me about it. I was like, thanks?
Thanks, Wing Man.
So he's like, the assistant principal's like, "I'll make sure he's in that class."
I'd do what he says,
so the next year, I'm in the class, and it's the funnest art class I've ever taken.
Yeah. You're kicking yourself for not taking it sooner.
Exactly. And I'm learning so much about perspective drawing and shading and all this stuff. Stuff I'd been doing, but just better techniques and stuff. So I was like, "Oh, this is the best class." And a friend of mine had taken it the year before. So every day we're like talking about it. He's like, "Isn't it the best class? Have you done this yet? Have you done this?" And I was like, "Shut up. You're ruining it." So
no spoilers.
My dad decides to move to Portland.
Yeah.
We're about.
So where was this prior?
Newport.
Newport. Okay.
So I go in the day that I'm leaving. I have to get like signed out of all my classes and stuff. So I present the sheet and he looks at it and goes, "You're leaving?" I was like, "Yeah, tomorrow." He's like, "You dick." What do you say to that? I was like, he's like, "Are you going to continue art? Are you going to take the art class there?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Good. Still a dick."
I've never met him, and he's one of my favorite teachers now, too. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, so, teachers, if you're listening, kind of watch out for your kids.
Well, and again, I was going to make the point, though, before we end this one, that teachers, in a lot of ways, get kind of lumped in the way like police do. You only ever hear about the bad teachers. There are a lot of them. And for some reason, all these hot teachers, which were never in my fucking school.
No, fuck. God damn.
Every high school teacher.
Seriously.
Every teenage high school boy was like, "Where were they when I was there?"
Seriously. I had one.
And
I had one.
You had a hot teacher?
Totally hot teacher. Mrs. Gregory.
Oh, Mrs. Gregory.
Oh, tall, slim, drink of water, always wore stiletto spiked
heels. Oh, my God. Just with a bunch of horny young boys around her?
Yeah, her junior high, though.
Well, still?
I had her for 7th and 8th grade math.
Oh, were you never a good student or a bad student?
I wanted to be a bad student.
But no, so the point I made before James made it filthy and disgusting made me snort, which very few people can do. Son of a bitch.
Breaking all the rules!
It's a very difficult minefield to maneuver when you want to become a teacher. Because you go in with the best of intentions. You want to help.
You want to shape young minds. Yeah,
yeah, you want to do it. Because no one's like, you know what, I guess I'll be a
teacher.
But
then you start dealing with these fucking kids.
You deal with the kids. You deal with the fact that the school board won't do dick to back you up or fund you at all. Anytime there's a problem with a student, you need to talk. You tell the parents what like a responsible teacher is supposed to. Suddenly it's the teacher's fault somehow for not making their kid do right or, you know, figure out their problems. So they've got to balance all these things. At the same time, you expect them to also find a way to ignite that flame of curiosity and knowledge thirst.
You have to make yourself stand out as a teacher. Yeah. You have to instill that knowledge, but you have to make it worth their while to come to class. Especially in high school where it's like, well, yeah, I don't like that class, so I'm going to skip it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
when you got teachers that have to spend money out of their own fucking pockets to buy like just
supplies
for their school, like, because the school's not going to pay for it. That's the most, I mean, you wonder why our country is like 43rd in education or whatever. I mean, and like a sad 43rd. So whatever it takes to make things better, it's going to start with funding. First of fuck of all, you start cutting things. Well, we're just going to cut art and music because they don't need to know about that. Like, yeah, because you kids don't need to have a creative outlet or anything. Yeah. We just need to shovel. And now they've got this fucked up math now that they're using.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I saw this.
Like, cannot seriously follow it at all.
Dude, it's stupid.
Yeah, it's like it's...
It's so, you know, here's what Common Core math is all about. It's about, it's essentially... No Child Left Behind extended. Because let's face it, some people struggle with math. I did.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yep.
I didn't get any higher than pre-algebra throughout high school because I struggled with math.
I think I ended up right about there with you.
So, I mean, math was tough, man. And I was so happy when, at the end of sophomore year, because you... We're only required to take 2 years of math, 2 years of science.
Yeah.
I was so happy when it was done. It's like, oh, finally, no more numbers.
Yeah.
Math was hard, man.
Seriously, yeah.
But I had to take an algebra class in college.
I thought you said algebra crap.
I thought it was going numbers. To be. And
if James ate 5 apples and drank 6 cups of coffee,
I went into this class with the full expectation of failing miserably.
Yeah.
Because it's algebra. And I suck at math.
See, I did good at algebra. It was geometry that I had
trouble the teacher
with.
That we had
and a part
worked
of it
for
was,
Boeing.
A part of it was my teacher, too. That was the teacher that they tried to make cry.
It really comes down to... Yeah. So this algebra teacher, he throws out the book he's supposed to do, and he photocopies a book. So we all saved money. We didn't have to buy a book. He photocopies the book that we'll be working from and hands it out to everyone.
Nice.
So number one... He's like, that book, you won't learn anything from it. If you bought it already, take it back.
Yeah.
Right now.
You'll get
I will give
3%
you...
of its value, but still.
He's like, you can't, we're not going with this because you will never learn anything. You will struggle. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
He's like, at Boeing, if it was wrong, it cost millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not going to cost you hundreds of dollars for your education here, so we're going to do it right.
Dude.
So he gives us... He gives us the book, and he tells us the answers are all in the back. But if you use those answers, you're just shortcutting yourself, because what I'm more interested in is how you got to that answer. So you know the answer that you're shooting for.
Yeah.
The answer of this problem is here.
Yeah.
Make it work. How does this problem become this answer?
Confirm and the fact that you get it.
And that's what it was about. He didn't care if we got the answers right. He wanted... It was more about
to know that you're
solving
doing it
the
correctly.
Problem.
Yeah.
So,
because once you understand the method,
any
question can be answered.
And every class was like, he would explain it. The class was about an hour. He would spend 45 minutes explaining it.
Yeah.
And then give you the assignment. It's like, okay, 15 minutes left in class time, but I will be here another 2 hours.
Wow.
So our classes were roughly 3 hours long, so we could pick his brain. And get his help throughout this.
Dude, what was his name?
I got an A.
You got a fucking A.
I got
A.
an A, and I completed the class a week early.
Nice.
Everyone worked at their own pace.
Yeah.
When you finished the book, because it's like when you finish an assignment, he's like, okay, go on to the next one. And if you need help.
So where was the...
I took the test, the final exam, a week early, and aced it.
Fuck yeah.
I was so proud of myself. I went to Dairy Queen.
All right, next episode, I got a horrible story about Dairy Queen, but we'll burn that bridge when we get to it.
But see, that's what a good teacher does exactly. to students. Yeah. I mean, they get
ignites
them
ignites them, yeah.
And I had several. I wanted to take chemistry in yeah. high school, and they said, you struggled at math, we're not going to let you. So I said, well, fuck math, why should I learn it? Yeah. So I did very poorly continually on math because... Yeah. I didn't care because they obviously didn't care about what I wanted to learn.
Exactly, yeah.
If
all
I would
these weepy
chemistry,
teachers just like their tears yeah. are sogifying my tests.
Yeah. If they would have let me take chemistry, I would have wanted to learn the math that I needed to, and I would have done well because every class I wanted to that I enjoyed, I did phenomenal in.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you for listening. This has been a... This was
kind of all over the place, but it was in a
it
good
was a,
way.
It was
yeah.
a fun one. I think it was... We
got serious, I and then we got funny, and then we got
ooh,
serious,
shiny.
And we got funny. Yeah.
Just like everything we do. No, I love episodes where we take you know a very emotional topic, a very serious topic,
yeah.
and we have a good discussion, and then it turns into kind of a walk down nostalgia road.
And it was a very organic progression.
Yeah, it really was.
Say. It was a great progression.
Oh, really?
Say, yeah.
Really?
Just really still just... A little sore about the whole way things go from one point to another point. I didn't even say progression. Push the fucking button.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.